Good morning, everyone. How's everyone this fine morning? I am actually pre-recording this, so it's if you see the clock behind me, it doesn't reflect what time it really is, but so I'll start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for this time to look into your word and to share with the folks that some things that you've shown me, and that hopefully they'll enrich everyone, and that we can all get something new and refreshing out of this. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, we are continuing in John, right? Chapter 12. He just came into the city after being his triumphal entry, and he is addressing there was some people, some Greeks, which we know as our Gentiles actually, that were there also, and wanted to ask him some questions. But and so they got a hold of Andrew and Philip, and well, actually Philip first, and then Philip and came to Andrew and talked to him about it. And so they went both to talk to Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Of course, he's talking about himself here. And it, and pretty much, here shortly, I'm going to bring up a verse to explain that that we're pretty much done. I think yesterday I had mentioned the Luke passages there in Luke 19, 41 through 44, where basically Jesus says that even today you didn't realize who I was, so that it's pretty much done trying to convince the Jews of who he is, which kind of, I think in some ways he kind of knew, but he still had to fulfill the what was spoken of in the prophecies, and not sure, maybe he'll explain it further someday when we see him face to face. Continuing in John, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also be my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Can you imagine standing there and hearing that? I'm not sure. It does. It just says some people are around him. I know the apostles are there, and you know, they've heard this before. And I thought I'd make note of those few times that we see that the Father actually spoke verbally from heaven. And one's over in Matthew 3:16, when he was getting baptized, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And here in verse 17 is where, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And again, in Matthew 17:5, we also see it. It's a famous transfiguration where the Peter, James, and John were there. So they already had witnessed this. And also the baptism, I think Andrew was there for that one, where he met John the Baptist, and he may have been there when Jesus actually got baptized. I'm trying to remember if I saw a verse along that lines, but I didn't look for one. But here in Matthew 17:5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So at least those people that were standing around there and heard this, boy, I tell you, it'd be tough not to be convinced. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Great verse there. And I dug into this verse a little bit just to kind of mention a few things where it says, "The prince of this world be cast out." And of course, this is a reference to Satan himself. He is the, at least up to this point, he is in charge pretty much on earth. As long as he doesn't, God still has restrictions on what he can and can't do. He has to go ask permission, as we remember from Job at times, where he went to God and got permission to test Job. But just to reflect back that when this happened, of course, in the Garden of Eden, and when Eve was deceived, and we see that in Genesis 3:14. And because of that, God proclaimed these coming verses 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And this is the part here that is getting ready to be fulfilled. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Well, we're at the phase of the bruising of the heel right now, and her seed, which would be, Mary, well, actually, Eve, ended up the line was kept pure all the way to Jesus, and that was quite an accomplishment. If you pretty much the whole Old Testament is Satan trying to upset that plan. Quite an amazing study to try to look at all the ways that Satan actually tried to fool that plan. Thinking about like Moses being all the babies being killed, and Moses was saved. Or the case of I love the book of Ruth. Where Ruth ends up being actually, the great grandmother, I think, of David, somewhere in that line. And all the little stories like that, even the blood curse that ended up on Joseph's line, but because and that went through Solomon, but because of Nathan, another son, that which is the line of Mary. It kept the seed clean all the way to Jesus. Quite an amazing route. So in Revelation 20:10 is where we see the final ending, where the second part of that verse from Genesis gets fulfilled. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Of course, that's quite a ways in the future yet. Well, not quite a ways. At least 7 years that we know of. Not sure exactly when that's going to start, but it's sure seeming pretty close. I also wanted to say a little bit about the other part of that verse where it talks about, let me go short again, John 28. John 28:31. "Now is the judgment of this world." Now that no, it wasn't 31, it was 32. It was 32. There it is. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And we can see this promise being kept. Go through a few verses here of what Jesus is getting ready to do for us. In Romans 5:9, we read, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. These are all the things being fulfilled by Jesus sacrificing himself on the cross for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And over in Hebrews 9:26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. These are great promises all the way through the Bible, that by thy which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now, of course, this hasn't quite happened yet, but I just felt led to bring these verses up, mainly having to do with all the things he's saying here about Jesus having to give himself. And also in 1 Peter 2:24, who has his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's a little reflection on what Jesus is getting ready to do for us. Yeah, well, actually already done, has done for us, but I mean, this part of John, as he's talking here in the latter part of John 12. Then another thing I thought I'd mention that, about that verse is that kind of interesting that I always found it interesting that and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And we see that in, believe it or not, that goes all the way back to, I forget where it was, or somewhere in Numbers, I think it was. I didn't look that one up, but where Moses had lifted up the serpent on a staff, and anyone who got bit by the snakes of that time would look to it and be healed. And actually, it's become the symbol of the medical community now. I forget the name of this. It's some kind of a, I guess it's also a god in the Greek or Roman mythology. But it's interesting that all through the Old Testament, no one ever knew why Moses was told to do that until we get to this verse here in John 3:14, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he makes this comment, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So, back to John 12, we're at verse 33 now. This he said, signifying what death he should do. People answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. Sorry about that. Lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Kind of a little interesting insight coming up here. That the saying of Elias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed. We see that over in Isaiah 53:1, where it says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. So, and again, another fulfilling of prophecy. in John 12:39. Therefore, they could not believe because that Elias said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and can be converted, and I should heal them." And he's repeating Isaiah here. I think he's trying to remind them of what they should already know. It's over in Isaiah 6:10, where it says, "Make the heart of these people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." In John 12:41, he says, "These things said Elias when he saw his glory and spake of him." And this whole chapter 6 here in, that I'm talking about in Isaiah is what he's talking about here. Isaiah 6:1 starts out by saying, "In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." So that was Isaiah, what he saw. And Jesus is repeating it here, kind of remind him who he really is. But of course, that ain't going to help any. Nonetheless, among the chief rulers, back in John, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Again, just like we see today, people may believe or may think that there really truly is a God, but they love this world too much to give it up. So, reminds me of, I brought this up because in that verse 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him." And so I thought I'd refresh your memory on Nicodemus. That was in John 3:1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. They came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." And I truly believe that, based on some things we're going to see when we get later on in John, after the crucifixion, that he really did believe, and that as he helped bury Jesus and brought some spices and stuff. So I expect we're going to see Nicodemus in heaven. So continuing in John, to finish up here, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." My voice is going to give out. A little more verses today than I usually have. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sent me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Which, according to what we read later on in the Bible, it's going to be him doing all the judging too. But for a later day. "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whosoever I speak thereof, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." And that finishes up chapter 12. A lot of information in there. And but we'll try to, as we go along here, we're going to see a lot of this stuff being fulfilled. And that's all I had for today. Let's see. Didn't really have any pictures, except that we're still in the temple area. So there's our mock picture of the temple. And I know he's in that general area somewhere. And it, again, we're pretty much into Passion Week now. So that the rest of John is pretty much the Passion Week itself. And we'll look at all the different phases. And then, of course, the crucifixion and the resurrection. So that's pretty much the rest of John will be about that. And so I'll be spending quite a bit of time in this area. And I will close with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this time that we get to look into your word. Just so much information here to unpack. And I hope I shed a little bit of light on it. And that I'm sure that I hope that you can help us all to see more as we go further into our studies. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, well, today's Friday, and I will talk to you all on Monday. So I hope you have a good weekend. And just a reminder, we have that, for the kids, we have Tug tomorrow night, for tonight. And we're going to be continuing in the looking at the Chosen series a little bit. It'll be the third episode. And then Sunday morning, we got our 9 o'clock Sunday school and 10 o'clock morning worship. And then our evening service at 5 o'clock. So I hope to see you all there. So you have a great Friday, and we'll see you soon.